The show is live and local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. And on the first part of the program, we have Deanna Doty, who is artistic director of the Champaign-Urbana Ballet, and Andy Warfel, who is the production supervisor for their upcoming production of Swan Lake and has created some wonderful visual elements for all their productions, or at least Swan Lake and The Nutcracker. They'll be with us for this portion, and of course we'll hear music from Tchaikovsky's ballet. Second portion of the show will feature singer, balladeer, storyteller, bandleader Martin de Kogan, who will be here with the Martin de Kogan Project on the Piper's Hut Concert Series Thursday night at the Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. And he'll tell us a story, and we'll hear some of his performances as well. So that is in the second portion of the show. Here is a band that he is also involved with. It's called the Fuchsia Band. They were here last year. And these are called, this is called the Rigs of Rye. The Fuchsia Band, or members thereof, the Rigs of Rye, a lovely song. And we'll hear the difference between a song, an air, and a tune in traditional Irish parlance later on when we speak with Martin de Kogan, who's bringing the Martin de Kogan Project to downtown Urbana tomorrow night. But first, conversation regarding the Champaign-Urbana Ballet's upcoming production of Swan Lake. This is Live and Local. Programs today are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to experience the thrilling athleticism of Momix on April 29th and 30th. More information on this and other events can be found at krannertcenter.com. With me now on the show is Deanna Doty, who is the founding artistic director of the Champaign-Urbana Ballet and the Champaign Ballet Academy, and also Andy Warfel, who has been an integral part of particularly the Nutcracker productions that the CU Ballet has done for a long time, I think since the beginning, providing lots of, or close to the beginning.
Right.
Providing lots of visual elements that are fascinating, interesting, colorful, and always being added to every year, it seems.
That's right.
So thanks to both of you for coming in.
Hi, Kevin.
Thank you.
A pleasure to see you. So, Deanna, this is how many times around for all or part of Swan Lake by now?
I want to say this is our third time for a fullish production. But this is the first time when we've had a real production guy with us to actually make it cohesive and...
A full evening-length production.
Yeah, right.
As
right.
opposed to previously, what have the visuals been less dramatic,
well,
or less elaborate?
You know, we're always trying to improve upon what we had. And what we had last time was, you know, I thought it was very nice and very good. But Andy brings a certain professional eye to everything and helps us to achieve...
A little something extra.
Yeah.
And with that eye comes truckloads of scenery.
That's right.
I remember the only show I've done, Andy, with you that where you were involved in the scenery was Beauty and the Beast for the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company.
Right, right.
And I remember you made certain things very hard on them because there were some truckloads of scenery, but the scenery never really changed much in that show.
It was sort of a unit set. Yeah. And we're actually doing a similar thing with Swan Lake in that there's a sort of basic look for the entire production that then morphs into the different scenes, and how it changes and transforms into those different scenes is where we get the kind of the wow effect throughout the production.
Yeah, there's a nice scrim in the back that slowly rises at one point to reveal more of the lake as the story goes on, and it's very well thought out that way.
So is this going to be kind of like Phantom of the Opera, where you have a lake on stage?
Well, hopefully there's no water on stage.
Right.
But no, the backdrop is a very large digitally printed painting that I did in Photoshop of a very specific lake, in fact, the Alpsee in the Bavarian Alps. And it starts out with just a sliver of the lake showing. And as the evening progresses and the characters get closer and closer to the lake and eventually get into the lake, the lake rises and the backdrop rises to reveal more and more of the lake until at the very end, it's basically all you can see is the water and reflections of the castles and the mountains in the water.
Wow, that sounds dramatic.
It should be neat, I hope.
Yeah.
We should say, because I think I didn't, at least since before playing some music, that the production of Swan Lake is coming up on in a couple of weekends from now, a few weekends from now, May 8th and 9th, that's Saturday and Sunday, with two matinee performances, Saturday at 2 and Sunday at 2. The Saturday actually is sold out, as it happens, which is a very nice thing for the company. And then a Saturday evening performance at 7:30. They're all at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign, which is a great place to see most things. And, of course, it's where Ebertfest is starting up tomorrow, mm-hmm. I think. I don't think it starts today, does it? It starts tomorrow.
They're deep in preparation mode. I know that.
Yeah, I'm sure about that. And so that's always a big deal in downtown Champaign. And if you've seen the CU Theater Company productions there, you get a good idea of what the space is like. And Deanna, you've been there a number of times before.
We have, although last year was sort of our transition year to the Virginia. And it's another reason why we're so glad to have Andy with us is because the space is very different from Parkland, which is where we were before. And then it's different from Krannert as well. It has its own joys and its own aggravations.
Uniqueness.
Yes, that's right. And so he's able to solve a lot of these issues for us as far as they can be solved. There's no, there's not a lot of backstage area at the Virginia.
Well, it was designed as a movie theater. So when you take that into consideration, yes, it housed some touring acts, things like that, but it's not very deep. At Krannert, for example, we have the benefit of acres of backstage space, which, of course, the Virginia does not have. So it is a little tricky to get all of the space that we need for dancing and all the scenery.
Yeah, there were a few fights, a few battles over space there in the back, but I think
there's a lot of choreography going on backstage as well. Let me just put it that way.
Right.
You're not working on stage yet.
No.
You won't be probably till the week of the show.
That's correct.
Right.
That's just too expensive a proposition
to
get into the Virginia Theater at all, much less too much extra time in advance. Well, let's hear a little bit of the music to start here. This is taken from a suite from the ballet, so some of the more popular tunes. It's a waltz from Act One. There's a number of waltzes in there, as you would expect from Tchaikovsky's music. Here's a performance by the Royal Philharmonic led by Sir Charles McCarris. My guests, Deanna Doty and Andy Warfel of the Champaign-Urbana Ballet, giving Swan Lake on the 8th and 9th of May. That's one of the better-known excerpts from Tchaikovsky's music for the ballet Swan Lake, a waltz from Act One. Sir Charles McCarris leading the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I wanted to ask Andy, actually, when he was talking about the backdrop, Andy Warfel, the backdrop to the scene, the staging at it's going to be at the Virginia Theater on the 8th and 9th of May. You mentioned specifically a lake.
Yes.
And the obvious question to me was why that particular lake? And
why that
feeling
lake?
Feeling there was a reason.
Several reasons, in fact. I like to do a lot of research on any production that I work on just so that it has some sort of basis in reality or in historical fact. And in my research, I kept coming back to this one particular lake in the Bavarian Alps, which is called the Alpsee. And there's a number of reasons why this lake became appropriate. The first, obviously, is that it's a beautiful mountain lake, very placid amidst the forest and Bavarian Alps, very close to Austria. Secondly, since the 12th century, near this lake, there's been a fortress which was called Schwangau, which it means Swan County. And there's a population of wild swans that live in and on and around the Alpsee and have for centuries. Not the same swans for centuries, but anyway, the ancient medieval fortress was rediscovered by Maximilian of Bavaria in the early 19th century. And he rebuilt it and named it Hohenschwangau, which means High Swan County. And Maximilian had two sons. His first son was Ludwig, who became Ludwig II of Bavaria and actually built a castle for himself just up the hill, which is the famous Neuschwanstein, or New Swan Rock Castle, which, of course, has been used by everyone from Walt Disney on forward. But more importantly, Ludwig grew up learning to hunt and running around the woods of this particular lake when he was a boy. It was sort of the summer house of Maximilian of Bavaria. And as it turns out, Tchaikovsky was obsessed with the life of Ludwig II of Bavaria. And some people say that the character of the prince in Swan Lake is actually based on Ludwig II. So all of that research kind of led me to this very specific lake, which is really quite stunning in and of itself, but the historical context, I think, is very interesting as well.
So did you know about the Tchaikovsky connection first, or did you discover
No, I was looking for interesting castles, and of course everyone knows Neuschwanstein, and I was thinking to myself, I know a little bit of German, I was thinking to myself, well, if this is the new Swan Rock, what was the old Swan Rock?
Yeah.
And so a little bit further digging led me to Hohenschwangau and the Alpsee, and then actually research in the ballet itself, which is based on old German folk tales, even though it was reinterpreted into romantic Russian folk tales. It was all based in German sort of mythology. So it kind of all came back around in that respect.
Wow, that's amazing when you're doing either programming, because I sometimes run into this when I'm programming either for the show or for orchestra or something like that, where you have certain things in mind and then you discover connections later that reinforce whatever mm-hmm. your original thought was.
Absolutely,
which is pretty neat. Deanna, we always like to talk in our conversations about Champaign-Urbana Ballet about the individual dancers and some of the demands on them.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the main characters in Swan Lake?
The role of the prince is played by Mason Anders. And then we actually have a dual role, the role of the black swan and the white swan. The white swan is played by Alexis Hedge, and the black swan, the evil swan, is played by Erica Johnson. Those are the sort of the main roles. There are a lot of secondary roles that also require a great deal of dancing. And to tell you the truth, all of the dancers are being put under a lot of pressure right now. It's a hard ballet. It's a long ballet, and there's a lot of dancing to it.
Is it more difficult, more challenging than the Nutcracker, which you do?
Yes, very much so.
In what way?
A lot of more technical dancing. There's the whole white act for the Corps de Ballet, which is, of course, all of the swans at the lake. And it's, you know, a full act of hard, hard dancing. And then, of course, you know, there's everything else in addition to that. There's a lament at the end. There's the ballroom scene, which has a lot of heavy dancing for those dancers as well.
Give us a rundown of the basic story of Swan Lake.
Well.
Or at least as you're interpreting it. Here.
Right. Basic story, it's a fairy tale, and it's a story of a prince who is at his 21st birthday, and his mother, the queen, tells him that he needs to choose a bride.
Of course.
Yes, and this is an important time for the country, because if the country gets a king, then the country's more protected. And so this choosing of a bride would be important for everybody. The prince does not really want to choose a bride. He doesn't really want to get married. He wants to keep, you know, parting. And so he's not very happy about that. And he goes off hunting into the woods. And when he arrives there, he discovers this creature that is a swan that turns into a beautiful princess. The princess has been put under a spell by Von Rothbart, who is the evil sorcerer. So the story evolves from there. The prince falls in love with the swan queen, the swan princess, declares his love for her. And she's excited because if they have this eternal love, then the spell can be broken.
And she's the white swan?
She is the white swan, the good swan, played by Alexis Hedge. So there's kind of a break in the storyline there. There's an intermission, and that's actually the point where our children's matinee ends, because it ends on a high note. Nobody's killed. Nobody commits suicide. So it's a right. So it's a good way for children to get introduced to the ballet without being too traumatized by.
So there's just the one performance where adults presumably get the whole thing.
Oh no, two. The Sunday matinee will be the full.
Oh, that one's complete.
That's correct.
Okay,
yes,
good.
It's just the Saturday one that's a shortened.
And the Saturday children's shortened one, that's the one that's sold out.
That's correct.
It is.
So you still have an opportunity to see the whole thing.
Yes.
So in the act two, the black swan shows up.
Yes. And so she is the daughter of Von Rothbart. Her name is Odile. And he uses Odile to seduce the prince. And he declares his undying love for Odile instead of Odette, and therefore the beautiful white swan has to stay forever a swan. Now, there's a scene where he goes back to the lake and she forgives him. I don't know if I want to tell the complete story because you need to come see the show to find out what happens.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So,
don't give it all away. Yeah.
So does it end happily in the end? You're not going to tell me.
No, I'm not. You have to come and find out.
Oh, rats. I like to know that. I like happy endings. I decide I don't like to go to movies anymore unless there's a happy ending, so I ask in advance. At least tell me, does it end happy? But nobody wants to do that. And you're not going to do that either.
That's
nope.
Right. So, well, there's a lot of wonderfully happy music, that's for sure, and also very dramatic music, and as you've said, some challenging dancing. One of the things about the Nutcracker, I guess, is there's, particularly for the first, in the first act, there's lots of sort of milling about with almost semi-dancing that goes on.
Right.
So that doesn't happen in Swan Lake.
There are periods of time. I mean, in every ballet, in every classic ballet, you want to have balance between this, you know, incredibly technical athletic dancing and more of play-like features where you have pantomime and you have people actually telling the story. So there's balance here, and that happens mostly in the first and third scenes.
And we're going to have we're going to go out with a pas de deux from Act One, which I'll ask you to set up in just a moment. But let's just remind folks that the Champaign-Urbana Ballet production of Swan Lake is going to be the 8th and 9th of May. The 2 p.m. matinee on Saturday the 8th is sold out. That's the shortened one for children. And then there's another complete performance, a matinee on Sunday at 2. There are plenty of tickets for that. And then the evening performance is Saturday at 7:30. Also plenty of tickets for that. It's at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign. And for more information, you can go to cuballet.com or call the Virginia Theater to get the tickets at area 217-356-9063. And my guests on Live and Local for this first half hour, Deanna Doty, who is the artistic director and has adapted Petipa's choreography for some of this, yes?
Yes, that's correct.
And you've also had your hand in the costume design and the scenic design. And
I have, but, you know, it's very much a collaboration. We have some incredible people on board, Anne DeBilder in the costumes, of course, Andy in the production. we're extremely lucky to have these talented people with us.
And Andy Warfel is the other, you know, talented person in the studio with us right now, and it sounds like a really fascinating fascinating visuals to the whole thing.
It should be quite fantastic.
Quite fantastic. I like that. If you do say so yourself.
Well, I'm pushing for that, let's say.
Yeah, well, that's the goal. And when you'll all see how it comes together when you get to the Virginia the week of. And I thank you both for coming on. Set
thank
up
you.
Quickly
Thanks,
for Kevin. Us this pas de deux from Act One. Who are the dancers? Who are the characters?
This is the prince and the swan queen who are meeting for the first time and falling in love.
Of course. They always fall in love at their first meeting, just
right.
like Cinderella. Mm-hmm. It's live and local on FM 90.9. And that is from, well, technically from Act One, and apparently I played not the pas de deux that Deanna was expecting. She was explaining to me that nobody does this particular music in Act One anymore. They all do it in Act Two, and it turns out to be the Black Swans dance. That was my fault. In any event, it was still beautiful music by Tchaikovsky from Swan Lake, which the Champaign Urbana Ballet will perform at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign the 8th and 9th of May. For more information, cuballet.com. This is Live and Local on FM On this portion of Live and Local, my guest is Martin de Kogan, who is coming to the Piper's Hut Concert Series at the Heartland Gallery this Thursday at 8 o'clock with his project, the Martin de Kogan Project. And he was last there with the Fuchsia Band. He's the front man, both a singer and storyteller with them. And I heard him, whenever that was last year, that you all were there. And he's with me on the telephone in Chicago, right?
Hello. Hello, Kevin, and hello to the world. I'm not too sure where I am, but I'm very close by. I'm very close by. And it was June last year, June 09, that I was there with the Fuchsia Band. And we were there in September 07 as well. And we have great memories of both Champaign and Urbana. And looking forward very much to the gig in the Heartland Gallery Thursday at 8 p.m. So, the Piper's Hut Concert Series, which will be great crack.
Do you have, first let me ask you, between the Fuchsia Band and your new project, what are the differences besides other personnel and why the new project?
Well, the Fuchsia Band is half songs, half tunes, and a few stories put in between. And the new project is be more kind of 80% songs and 20% tunes and a few stories lashed along, and maybe a dance. And the new project, the new personnel, is a Canadian woman called Nora Rendell, who is very famous in the UK and parts of Ireland with the Outside Track. And she's married to Brian Miller, who would be from that big band called Boa, among other bands. And they're both living here in Minnesota with myself. I'm after moving to Rochester, Minnesota now. And the Fuchsia Band, with the way things are, they have full-time jobs outside of the music touring industry, and holidays a few and far between now with this current climate. So Martin has to keep going. So the project is Martin plus whoever Martin brings along to whichever gig that makes it suitable. So this time we have the most beautiful musical couple that Minnesota has to offer with Brian Miller and Nora Rendell. And we're doing a load of new songs. They're all new songs for an album that we're going to record at the weekend up in St. Paul. And the songs, it's a themed album, Kevin, from Cork with Love. So they're all kind of songs around the bases of relationships. Some romantic, some not very romantic, but quite funny. All based out of Cork in Ireland, the very south, where I'm from myself.
And that was going to be my question, or at least my statement, because I knew that. And how long have you been in the States, remind me?
Living? Well, I suppose I've been coming over for the last 6 years, more and more every year. And I married one of your own, Kevin. I married an American. And I've moved over here now full-time, I suppose, the last 2.5 years. And I still go back to Ireland quite a lot. I'm doing a tour there in June with Captain Mackey's Goatskin and String Band, another entity. Is there any end to the caps that I could wear? I don't know. But I'm here now full-time. I got my green card, and I'm sailing around the place in a big green bus.
Actually green, or that's another of your stories?
Well, it's actually green, yeah. It's gray, green. Metallic green.
My family had a very light green VW bus when I was a kid, but I'll bet it's not one of those.
No, it's very hard to find a good VW these days.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of those would still be on the road.
Westfielder buses, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't mention it. Actually, Brian Miller is the guitarist in the group, and Nora on flute and whistles. And you are the singer, storyteller, and on the drum, the Bowron.
That's right, yeah. A very traditional drum made in Austin or Austria, depending on which drum I bring. And the stick is a very traditional Irish one made in Australia. So it's all very traditional.
And why don't we just hear a little bit, give listeners a sample of you solo. This is from a disc of yours called The Front. What is it?
The False Start.
The False Start, right. And why that title?
Well, it was going to be the starting 15, and I recorded it with a very famous fella down in Lepp in West Cork. And I had 15 numbers picked out, and I recorded them all. And then when it came to pressing, it turned out that one of the tracks didn't make it. There was a glitch in whatever electronics, and I had to go at 14. So it wasn't the starting 15, it was the false start. 15, of course, being the number of players on a Gaelic football or hurling team. But alas, sometimes things don't go according to plan. But I had the date set out of when it was going to be launched, and it was under high pressure. So I call it the false start.
So that works as well as anything. Here's the tune called Peg Leg Jack, in which you're singing and playing the drum. Any introduction required to this?
It's a song about a man named Jack who had a wooden leg.
Okay. Martin de Cogan, my guest here on Live and Local. He's going to be bringing his project to Heartland Gallery in Urbana on the Piper's Hut Concert Series on Thursday.
Well, Peg Leg Jack went out one night to get a little gin. He went up to the landlord's house, the landlord wasn't in. He rapped, he rapped, he rapped, he rapped, he rapped all night in vain, till all of a sudden came upon the window pane. Well, up to the window Jack turned, he said, and there a maid he spied. He thought with a word she turned her head that she would be his bride. Come down, says Peg Leg Jack, and sit on the porch with me. And down she came and sat in the porch as pretty as ever you see. Then all of a sudden here came her father driving the village hack. With a roar and a bell, I hear young fella, he started for Peg Leg Jack. Well, Jack jumped up with a hip and a shout, for life to him was sweet. And Jack's peg leg went down the village street. The old one cried, the fat lady screamed, the constable let out a yell. He grabbed the old lad by the collar and locked him in a cell. Well, Peg Leg Jack, he hurried back the maiden far to wed, but found out that she'd gone and married a soldier boy instead. Well, poor Jack cried, and then he bellowed, and then began to roar, and jumped in his ship with his and sailed away from shore. He sailed away so far away, he sailed as fast as sin, and Peg Leg Jack was never seen again.
A tune called Peg Leg Jack with Martin de Cogan. singing and playing the drum, the Bowron here on Live and Local. The Martine de Kogan Project is going to be at Heartland Gallery and the Piper's Hut series Thursday at 8 o'clock. That's Dean Karras' series, and that's both a wonderful place to hear music, Heartland, by the way. It's very intimate, to say the least, and it's also very attractive, and some nice things you can buy there if you want. But, of course, mostly that evening, you get to hear the music. You know, you said earlier, just wanted to clarify for listeners who don't know the terminology, you said that your new project is 80% songs and 20% tunes. And most Americans probably would say, well, what's the difference?
Well, Kevin, a song is music with words, and then a tune is music with no words. The tune is just the melody, or when you're playing Irish music, there are tunes that are mainly invented, composed, and played for dancing. So they'll be mainly dance tunes. Otherwise, they would be called an air, which would be like a slow air or a mournful tune. So songs and tunes get mixed up over here in America, all right, quite often. So there you are, that's the analogy.
And does air necessarily not have words?
Yes, an air would an air may have words, but oftentimes it would be a slow, moronsome song. But when it's called an air, then it's also without words. It'll be a slow air, or a foul mowl, which is very lamentational.
So songs and airs and tunes will all be on the performance list for Thursday night, I imagine. And stories.
It will, of course, and a few stories, depending on how much we can pack in to two halves. I know people like to go to bed before midnight in the Midwest, so we'll have to cram it all in, I suppose. We'll have to cram it all in. Brian and Nora are fantastic musicians. Brian is bringing his bouzouki and his guitar, and he might get out the flute, we don't know. And Nora is bringing her whistles and her flute, and they're absolutely fantastic musicians. It's great to be on tour with them, and they're very focused and committed artists, that it's great to be on stage with them also, you know.
And
so it could be a surprise of anything on the night.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's half the fun of it. And remind folks also who may not know bouzouki. Most listeners, I imagine, would immediately think of that sort of rifle/cannon thing. But that is not what this kind of what a bouzouki is. That's a bouzouka.
That's right. It's a Greek instrument, a bouzouki, kind of like a lute with a big round back. Only it's got a straight neck on it, and in the 60s, men from Ireland, the likes of Jenny Moynihan and Andy Irvine, or Irvin, who was only kind of half Irish really, went over to Romania, and they went to Greece in search of the essence of music and adventure and some kind of gallivanting, I suppose, and came back with the mandolin and the bouzouki, and they transformed them into Irish music. I suppose the mandolin was kind of making its way around America and finding its way into bluegrass, but the bouzouki came to Ireland in the 60s and firmly found a foundation there. And it's a fantastic instrument for backing both tunes and songs with the melodic arrangement and the strings. It's an 8-string instrument, with 4 sets of double octaves. So it's fantastic to have in the band, and Brian's a master of it, along with his many different string setups on his guitar, his many tunings. So it's this Thursday night at 8 p.m. and it's $20 in and $10 for students, seniors and the unemployed. So come on down.
And, Martine de Kogan, my guest here on Live and Local. Why don't we hear a story of yours? Because that's quite a hallmark. And remind me, I know we talked about it last conversation, how long storytelling has been in your family?
Well, it's been there for generations. And I can't tell you when the first fellow that told the story, but I presume they've been telling it ever. And this story I got from my father, who got it from his uncle, my granduncle Eamon, who I had the great pleasure of meeting many, many times up in... he had moved to Dublin by the time I was born, and he didn't speak English to anybody. And he was in a fantastic house with his wife, Etna, and he composed this story around the 1920s when he was wandering around West Cork. And the story is it's given in the vernacular of the place and time. So it might be very hard to understand for some of the listeners here, so you'll have to bend your ear a small bit. And this story, and storytelling would stem from a time before television or radio or Nintendo games, where people had to entertain themselves. And this is a story where the people of West Cork pronounced their A's and E's backwards. So their A's sound like E's and their E's sound like A's. And their D's and T's are swapped over. And the H arrives in any place. Like a stand becomes a stand or stuff like that. Or stuff like that. And so best of luck, everybody. This is a song or a story that I learned when I was very young. This is probably the first story I ever learned. And no one's ever written down these things that were all passed from ear to mouth and from mouth to ear. And hoping that it would stay the same between the ear and the mouth.
And this is a story of Darmody's motor car from Martin de Kogan's disc called The False Start. And if you do get stuck on this story, by the way, we will have the interview on our website at will.illinois.edu, and you can go review it as many times as you like and figure out just how he what was he saying if you get stuck here. Here we go on Live and Local.
This is the story of a West Corkman's first spin in a motor car. It's set in the 1921 era, and the car in question is an open-top Model T Ford. And this is how he told it to his neighbours sitting round the turf fire. "Would a good yo' by it, I was walking west the road the other evening when I saw the queerest contraption of a vehicle stopped outside Casey's pub. Damn it, his motor car, I was told, twas of a cure. Be dead now then, says I, I'm going for the spin in this car. No, not never why. I walked up to him, and Mr. Damity, says I, would there be e'er a chance of a spin in your motoring car, west the road for a mile or two? Here there would, of course, says he. Fine and dacent and pleasant like. A fine graver man he was of a cure, like his father before him, Lord rest his soul. Of old stock they came. Hop in there, says he. Hop in where, says I, and he looking up at the high walls of it, and no notion of getting within it. We went round to the southwester side of it, and he opened it to get in. Hop in there, says he. Well, I took him at his word, and in he hopped, and I be hopping still with the dint of the springs on it, and I hung on to the two walls like daredevil. He slapped a little get in behind me. Let me out, says I. In it is all right, says he, and he taking no notion of me at all, I tell you. Well, he went round to the front of the car, he and why, and he started twisting with little twig in. Let me out, says I again. Here it is all right, says he, and he taking no notes me at all, I tell you again. Well, he started twisting on that little twig in, and he gave it one almighty twig, and the car began to shudder all over. Well, he went round to the front of the car, he and why, and he opened another little get in, and in he hopped into the front seat. Well, he started fiddling with a little fwheelian, and he put his claw down and tap a nab in. The cat took a jump out of herself. The roads rose for an inch, the trees were flying past us, and the telegram poles, they were like the rungs of a ladder. There we were, flying way west the road, boy, and sure all he could see was wind and air. Heavens, boy, it was all right, until we came to Powell of Flocra Rock. There stood the tall, bare-faced rock standing for an inch, the hill going down to it as sharp could be, and the corner below it was as sharp as a razor. Heavens, all the past sins of my life came before me. But twadn't them I was thinking of at all. Only what in hell's blaze misfortune brought me into his car at all in the first place? There we were, flying down the hill, why, when he took a twist on that little wheelie and went round the corner to complain he ever saw Mr. Rock Beaches and away west the road like a red-roaring devil. There we were, flying away west the road, why, when I heard a shot, and the car stopped all of a sudden, and I hit my head off the back of the front seat. I got kind of stunned like, and the next place I found myself was Trun the Dyke, and there was Damned above there, fiddling with a little Freeline at the back. "Are you all right?" says he. "Am I what?" says I. "Am I shot?" And I began to feel myself to know where did I get the bullet. "'Tis all right," says he. "'Tis only a puncture." "'Tis not," boy, says I. "'Tis an ambush. Will you stoop, stoop till they fire at you again?" "Are you getting in again?" says he. "Faith, then I am then not," says I. "These two legs have stood me fast for the past 80 years, walking north the road, south the road, east the road, and west the road, and they'll last me now for the rest of my life, however long or short that'll be." And off I took west the road, and high anger on me, I needn't tell you. Where a Hannah and Dale boy didn't damn it, pass me a few minutes later, and he going like a she-guia, and a cloud of dust rising in his trail. Well, that was my first spin in the motoring car, and 'twas my last one too, I needn't tell you.
We heard that story told here by Martin de Cogan. Well, not here. He's here with us on the telephone, but that was from a CD called The False Start, Darmody's Motor Car. And Martin is a champion storyteller, was an All-Ireland storyteller winner. All-Ireland, there seems like there's just All-Ireland just about everything, any instrument and singing and storytelling, right?
Or sure, we're worse than America for giving trophies.
Or better than America, depending on your point of view. And when people do these competitions, is it generally younger people or can be anybody at all?
It can be anybody at all. And they are categorized like anything else in the different age categories. And you would find that every age group does take part in these things throughout the country, being it from Deidling, which is your music without instruments, if you will, where the mouth is the instrument, like dum ba doodle deedle dum ba diddle doodle deedle dum rum ba doodle deedle doodle dum diddle yum. And you'd have a little thing where it would be kind of a bit more than deidling and not exactly whistling. And you'd have a whistling competition where people would whistle from their mouth. You would have step dancing competitions. You'd have All-Ireland anything. There's All-Ireland Ploughing Championships, would you believe it?
Ploughing?
That's right. Oh, it's a national pastime, where you'd have men with their best tractors trying to keep the straightest row and plough through the field. And there'd be tractors coming from every part of the country for the Ploughing Championship. It's amazing. It's quite entertaining.
So somebody gives up their field to this competition, and then by the time the competition's over, they've got their field plowed.
Well, they give up a number of fields, and more often than not, the field is in a mess by the end of it. But they do give it up, yeah.
So they may not be all that happy when it's all over with. Well, I just learned that today. So others, listeners, have learned something, I'm sure, on this interview, if there was nothing else that they learned. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you. As it was last year, and hopefully I'll be able to get to the performance Thursday night. It's the Martin de Cogan Project at Heartland Gallery, downtown Urbana, on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. It starts at 8 o'clock. You can get more information on the series at the website, which is pipers-hut.com. And or you just call the Heartland Gallery as well. You better go to the website. That's usually the safest thing. And here, let's go out with music from the other band. You'll soon have CD available of the project, but you've got a couple of the Fuchsia Band. And here is a set of reels with Kansas City Polka and Cafe and 45th and State Line, the Fuchsia Band with Martin de Cogan on the drum. And thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, thanks very much for having me, Kevin, and hope to see you all on Thursday night. And if you want any more information on myself, you can go to martinmusic.com. That's just like Martin Music, only an A is followed by an I, so it's M-A-I-R-T-I-N. MartinMusic.com.
Yeah, if you
thanks very much, everybody, and see you Thursday night.
Thanks a lot.